Stop it, please. This is a teaching. It's 6:125, called the Great Wealth, God's Wealth Transfer. We're going to go over to Genesis chapter 2. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. It's continued the same. And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not rain, not a man to till the ground. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils a breath of life, and man became a living soul. I watched a guy one time. It was very interesting. He was just in a river. And he took something and started punching holes down in the river bottom, and all these little springs start coming up. He's talking about the whole earth is, well, there's water. There's no shortage of water on earth. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Now the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, and the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. The name of the first is Pison, that is which compasses the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. And the gold of that land is good. There is Bedlam in the onyx stone. And the name of the second river is Gihon. The same is it that compasses the whole land of Ethiopia. Now we know why the continent of Africa has been mined to oblivion. And the name of the third river is Sidekel, that is which goeth toward the east of Assyria. And the fourth river is Euphrates. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest eat freely, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. So God's wealth was placed in the hands of his man as a stewardship. The garden was full of God's wealth to provide for his man. God even issued him a warning not to covet. The fall happened because of the woman that God gave to the man was deceived, and Adam agreed that 90% that God gave the man was not enough. So they coveted the 10% that belonged to God and caused their fall and their banishment of God's wealth transfer system to them. The 10% being the tithe, in my opinion. Seems people have a hard time giving that tenth to God even today. They do not realize that when you give God his tenth, that he can take care of the rest for you. Men are still stealing from God, just like the devil stole from them in the beginning. The wealth is not man's, but God's. And he transfers it to whom he wills. It is coveted, but it will never be possessed. It is only on loan. A stewardship over what is God's and God's alone. Okay, we're going to look at some scriptures here. Psalms 50. All right. In other words, the wealth that God made in the garden he put it into the hands of the man as a stewardship. 50, all right, verse 10. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine, and the fullness thereof. I hope this helps you see wealth differently. For you never own it. You can't take it with you. It'll be proof that if you die, it stays here. It may be in your hands for a time, but it passes from generation to generation. That's the quandary we're in now. They found Solomon's gold in the Philippines. So there's places all over the world that have these huge trusts that are full of gold. This place is rich. In the millennium, it will pass to the righteous for good. This is what our beloved POTUS calls the golden age. He is right on track with that. You don't need to be concerned about this, the wealth that the wicked has stolen from us, because it will be stripped from them. In fact, this process is happening right now. What about Doge? We're talking trillions of dollars so far confiscated from these, whatever, all this stuff that they, how they've siphoned from this nation and the nations of the world, the wealth God has given to his people. Isaiah chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 2 is talking about the millennial. The word that Isaiah the son of Amoz saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, come ye, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways. And we will walk in his paths, for out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares. See, this is President Trump, the last Trump. This is his agenda. No more war. No more war. And their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. This is what the fallen angels taught the men, the earth men, how to make weapons of war. O house of Jacob, come ye and let us walk in the light of the Lord. Therefore hast thou forsaken thy people, the house of Jacob, because they be replenished from the east. And are soothsayers like the Philistines, and they please themselves in the children of strangers. Their land also is full of silver and gold, neither is there any end of their treasures. Their land is also full of horses, neither is there any end of their chariots. Their land also is full of idols. They worship the work of their own hands, that which their own fingers have made. And the mean man boweth down, and the great man humbleth himself. Therefore forgive them not. Enter into the rock and hide thee in the dust for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty. The lofty looks of man shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down. The Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon everyone that is proud and lofty, and upon everyone that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low. And upon all the cedars of Lebanon that are high and lifted up, and upon all the oaks of Bashan, upon all the high mountains, and upon all the hills that are lifted up, upon every high tower, upon every fenced wall, upon all the ships of Tarshish, upon all pleasant pictures, and the loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of man shall be made low, And the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day, and the idol he shall utterly abolish. And they shall go into the holes of the rocks, into the caves of the earth, for the fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty. When he arises to shake terribly the earth, what's he going to do? He's going to shake the wealth out where they've hidden it all underground. In that day, a man shall cast his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which they have made one for himself to worship, to the moles and to the bats. These capitals that I saw in this documentary I was watching, when they were talking about, you know, how elaborate each one of these are. I mean, we're talking the finest marble and gold and silver and everything that you can think of. Satan's high places. To go into the clefts of the rocks and into the tops of the ragged rocks, for the fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty, when he arises to shake terribly the earth. Cease ye from man whose breath is in his nostrils, from wherein is he to be accounted of? The gold isn't theirs. It'll never be theirs. Proverbs 13. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Evil pursueth sinners, but to the righteous good shall be repaid. A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. One of the resets in Scripture shows God's transfer of wealth to his people. Now, we know when they came out of Egypt, they were laden with silver and gold, all the wealth of Egypt. They'd been suppressed 400 years, making nothing. Gave them water to drink, some kind of slop to eat. They were like, you know, what do you call that? Servitude. That's what they were. They were slaves. Everything that was theirs, Egypt took. Well, when the reset happened, everything, they spoiled them. They took everything. God left them desolate. Psalms 103. He gave Pharaoh a chance. He wasn't having it. Bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. He forgives all our iniquities, who heals all our diseases, who redeemeth our life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, but rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is higher than the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as the flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening to the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his, that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all in all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. The Lord owns it all. Solomon was the richest man in the Bible. I want to read just a few things about Solomon. Why him? Well, we're going to see. Second Chronicles. Starting with verse 7 of chapter 1, it says, "In that night did God appear unto Solomon and said unto him, Ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said unto God, Thou hast showed great mercy unto David my father and hast made me to reign in his stead. Now, O Lord God, let thy promise unto David my father be established, for thou hast made me king over a people like the dust of the earth in multitude. Give me now wisdom and knowledge that I may go out and come in before this people, for who can judge this thy people that is so great? And God said to Solomon, Because this was in thine heart, and thou hast not asked riches, wealth, or honor, nor the life of thine enemies, neither hast thou asked long life, but hast asked wisdom and knowledge for thyself, that thou mayest judge my people over whom I have made thee king. Wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee, and I will give thee riches and wealth and honor such as none of the kings have had that have ever been before, neither shall there any after thee have the like." It's because of his attitude. His heart was right. Okay, 2 Chronicles 9. When the queen of Sheba heard, verse 1, of the fame of Solomon, she came to prove Solomon with hard questions at Jerusalem with a very great company and camels that bear spices and gold in abundance and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all her questions, and there was nothing hid from Solomon which he told her not. When the queen of Sheba had seen the wisdom of Solomon in the house that he had built and the meat of his table and the sitting of his servants and the attendants of his ministers and their apparel, his cupbearers also, their apparel, his ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. And she said to the king, It was a true report which I heard in mine own land of thine acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not their words until I came and mine eyes had seen it. And behold, the one half of the greatness of thy wisdom was not told me, for thou exceedest the fame that I heard. Happy are the men and happier are thy servants which stand continually before thee and hear thy wisdom. Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighteth in thee to set thee on his throne, to be king for the Lord thy God, because thy God loved Israel to establish them forever. Therefore made he thee king over them to do judgment and justice. She was just taken aback of the wealth. And it goes on to talk about how many horses and stables, and it's just ridiculous. I mean, the most filthy, stinking rich person that's ever lived on this earth. But he couldn't take it. It stayed here. It's hidden in the Philippines, or they found it. Yeah, it was made to distribute to those that occupy the earth, and then it goes on to someone else. So if Solomon was a faithful steward over God's wealth, supposedly all of Solomon's wealth, you know, couldn't go with him. Okay, now we're going to go over to Luke chapter 12. Verse 13 there. Wait a minute. Luke 12, 15. And he said, well, let's start with 13. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. He said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? He said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods, and I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. So God has the ability to strip that wealth from those who do not handle it properly. Leanness happens when we get God's instructions out of order. Haggai talks about it's like you're putting your money in a bag with a hole in it. He exhorts the people of that day to get back in line with his ways so he can restore them. We've been given a stewardship. That stewardship is over God's wealth. You are not the owner, but the caretaker of it. Okay, Luke chapter 16. All right, start with verse 1 there. And he said also unto his disciples, There was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. He called him and said unto him, How is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. Then the steward said within himself, What shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig, but to beg I am ashamed. I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him, and said unto the first, How much owest thou, my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, Take thy bill, sit down quickly, write 50. He's doing some backtracking here. He should have been doing this all along. Then said he to another, How much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, Take thy bill and write 80. And the Lord commended the unjust steward, because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in this generation wiser than the children of light. And I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fall, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. He that is unjust in the least is unjust also in the much. Okay, let's go over to Matthew 25. Starting with verse 14 there. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, another 2, and the other 1. Each man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded and with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. So he that received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside thee 5 talents more. He said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. And he said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knowest that I reap where I sow not and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him that hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall it be taken away, even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. People, for the most part, live for themselves and have no clue what is really going on. The God of this world has stolen most everything from the church. That is money to be used for the Great Commission and whatever else God says to do with it. Jesus relays his message to John to the 7 churches of Asia. He said to the Ephesus church, this is 2:4, Revelation 2:4. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. Jesus gave his life because he first loved us. And the gospel message relays that message to a lost and dying world. This is what the money is for. Organized religion at its highest. This is Revelation chapter 17. And there came one of the 7 angels, verse 1, which had the 7 vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of the names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color. If this isn't the Vatican, I don't know what is, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. Upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus, and when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. She's in league with the beast. They say that they have found trillions of dollars of gold bricks below the Vatican that reached 150 miles that go straight into Jerusalem. It's all underground. It was ridiculous. It was 70, 80 flights. Big cargo planes to carry the gold back to the United States out of the tunnel from the Vatican to Jerusalem. God is going to transfer all this wealth that they have found all over the world into the hands of the wealth managers he has chosen to do his will. For those that are good stewards of God's wealth, he will make you rich in the process. When your heart is right, God can trust you. It's kind of like with Job. Job's heart was right with God, and he restored to Job twice as much as he had before. He knows that if he gives it to you, you will not hesitate for a moment to give it away to whoever or whatever. See, God can work with that. Someone that hangs on to this money given to us as a stewardship loosely, waiting for instructions with what to do with it. Most of the world spend the better part of their life just trying to get their hands on it. Because of the wicked, our nation and the world has become welfare-minded. Satan has robbed the world. I saw a documentary on canyons, just like the Grand Canyon and why the canyons look the way they do. They've mined them till they're just ruined them. That's all that smooth looking stuff. They've mined everything on this earth. Stolen everything that they could possibly steal for decades and hidden them underground. All the resources. He's been stealing, killing, and destroying for 6,000 years that we know. I'm looking forward to giving to make people's lives better. And also, you know, that money being used to take the Great Commission where it's needed. I believe we're seeing the great wealth transfer right now. Expect it. The Lord said, expect it. Wait on the Lord and distribute as He instructs. Right here, Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Amplified says His way of doing and being right, and then all these things should be added unto you. So we're to seek the kingdom about it. Money is a tool for good. 1 Timothy, the love of money is the root to all evil. As we can see, why our world is in the state that it's in. Okay, James chapter 5. It says, go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth, and the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabbath. Ye have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. Ye have nourished your hearts as in the day of slaughter. Ye have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you. Right here, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waited for the precious fruit of the earth, hath long patience for it till he received the early and latter rain. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The religious leaders of the day looked for ways to get around the commandments, the Ten Commandments. Here it is, the Carla Love version. No other gods before me. Do not worship idols. Do not take the name of the Lord in vain. Keep the Sabbath. Honor thy father and mother. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. And do not covet. Well, Jesus talked to the disciples about this in Matthew chapter 15. Start with verse 1 there. It says, then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the fathers? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said unto them, why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your traditions? For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curses father and mother, let him die the death. But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift. But whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honors me with their lips, and their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And that's over in Ephesians. It talks about the first commandment with promise, honoring your father and your mother. Romans 13 says, honor to whom honor. If you want to be honored, then honor. If you want to see God's word work in your life, keep your word. This is 2 Corinthians 1:20. For all the promises of God in Him are yes and amen unto the glory of God by us. People want God to keep his word, but they won't keep their word. What? If you want God to keep your promises, you got to keep your promises. Many suffer today because they have no peace in their lives. I remember Brother Hagin had a word of knowledge for a man that had stomach ulcers. Well, long story short, the reason for it was because he didn't pay his tithe. As soon as he got corrected that, he got healed. A good conscience is a good thing. Let's just, one more page here, I think. This is a long one. Yeah. 1 Timothy 1:5. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and a faith unfeigned. Keep your conscience clear. Verse 19 here. Holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck. Titus, there's quite a few little scriptures on the conscience. Titus 1, 14 through 16. Not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. People take a lot of vices up, like drinking and drugs, to cover this up. Just do the right thing, and your life will be a lot better, and you will have a good conscience before God. Before our very eyes, we see money being ripped out of the hands of those who have used it for evil. Doge is a prime example. Trillions have been confiscated and are being redistributed. Be ready for this, because I told you it was coming. You will see it in big things and little things. God is no longer allowing the wealth of the righteous to be laid up for the wicked, but the wealth of the wicked will now be laid up for the righteous. The days of heaven on earth, where we can leave your house and be a blessing to someone wherever you go. Just think of that on a mass scale and how the atmosphere of earth will change. In other words, you leave your house every day on a mission, loaded, ready to distribute and bless. That's your sole aim. Good Samaritans all over the place and the grace of giving in high gear. This is ascension. This is what's going to make our world different. It's people's changing their thought processes. He said, I'm sorry, but churchy people are the most greedy people. They want their blessing, and they want their this, and they want their that. And if God don't do it when they want them to, they get mad at God. Yeah. Good Samaritans all over the place. Luke 10 talks about the Good Samaritan. What did the Good Samaritan do? Well, the priest passed by. The Levite passed by. But this guy, he stopped and helped the guy, put him up in a hotel, saved his life. Let's look at Ephesians 4:28. Leaving the house and all you're thinking about is just blessing somebody, obeying God, or doing whatever he requires of you. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. And that's not the right scripture. Sorry, that's 4. Wait a minute, is that right? No. I'm sorry, 28. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Good Samaritans. They're seeking first the kingdom and not seeking first to get their needs met and all their things in a row. Well, someday I'll have it to do that. No, you'll either do it today or you won't ever do it. working for a giving and not for a living. The kingdom of God is inside you. Tap into it all day, every day. This is what Jesus walked and taught. The kingdom of God is at hand, he said. It is inside you, and you will come, and it'll come out of you. We talk about the kingdom of God coming. Everybody's sitting on suitcases. Yeah, Jesus is coming. He's coming. He's coming. But what they don't understand, the kingdom of God's already inside of you. What he wants you to do is for that kingdom to come out of you. He said it's inside of you. No more unions. This was the last thing the Lord gave me. No more unions. No more unions. They have ruined the workforce and the attitude of the people. This is changing. Then he gave me a passage of scripture and we'll be done. This is Matthew 20. Don't the unions step in whenever the employees get disgruntled and try to negotiate between the boss and the employee? Is that kind of what a union does? Part of it? Well, anyway. For the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that is a householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. When he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard, and he went out about the third hour, and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour, and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out, and found some standing idle, and said unto them, why stand ye here all the day idle? And they say unto him, because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, go ye also to the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came, they were hired about the 11th hour. They received every man a penny. And when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more. And they likewise received every man a penny. Let's call our union. We've been done wrong. And when they had received it, they murmured against the goodman of the house, saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour, and hast thou made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day? But he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst thou not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is, and go thy way. I will give unto this last even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with my own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last should be first and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen. Saul. Tried to rush through it.